Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Way back when, my parents worked really hard trying to teach me to be nice. I was supposed to be polite and kind to others. Maybe you've heard from your parents the same thing I repeatedly heard. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah. I've tried hard to follow that instruction, sometimes with moderate success. Sometimes I've tried too hard. I don't really like conflict. I've endured a lot of it, but it's no fun. I'd prefer that people got along, that people were nice to each other. As I got older, I learned in Sunday school, primarily, that Jesus was nice. Nice all the time. But then, I was shocked to learn that Jesus wasn't always so nice. He was openly critical of some of the respected elders of his day. He was downright confrontational to people who were self-righteous. And there are texts like the one we have today, where Jesus confronts the Syrophoenician woman, where Jesus seems dismissive at best and sarcastic and cruel at worst. You heard the story. A Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus. Syrophoenician identifies her as coming from a group of folks that were Israel's enemies. Syrophoenicians, those were the people that repeatedly attacked and destroyed Israel again and again. They were enemies. They were horrible people, they thought. The Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus. She falls down in front of him. That's a sign of worship. She refers to him, not as sir, as our text has it, but Lord, Kyrios. Lord, again, a sign of worship. She implores Jesus to heal her daughter, her little daughter. And Jesus replies, what to my ears sounds rather rude, and adds an insult. Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food, literally children's bread, and throw it to the dogs. You might miss it. We like dogs. I'm a dog lover. But really, Jesus was using a culturally disparaging term for Gentiles. That's how many Jews referred to Gentiles, those dogs. Now, by comparison, you might think of any disparaging term used today to describe people of another race or nationality or orientation, and you get the idea. Jesus called her a dog. The children are the children of Israel, the ones who are in. The dogs are the Gentiles, the ones who are not us, who are out. Now, it seems to me completely out of character for Jesus, because Jesus is always nice. So what's going on here? Many preachers and many scholars have bent over backwards trying to explain this all away. Maybe Jesus was just teaching the disciples, and he said this with a twinkle in his eye, and maybe the woman, she was in on the joke. And Jesus, of course, he did use a word for little dogs. Now, who can be upset about being called a puppy? But all of that makes it so easy to get sidetracked from what's really happening here. It's striking, you bet. It gets our attention. But I think the reason why is because in Mark's gospel, this really is the beginning of a turning point in the gospel. Jesus has been going around Israel, has been teaching and preaching and healing and casting out demons. And now his mission is becoming more clarified. And Jesus very soon will head south to Jerusalem to complete his mission. So chapter 7 and 8 of Mark's gospel is critical to understanding what's going on in Jesus' ministry. In fact, I call it a hinge point where things change and become very clear. Hidden in the background of this story is the idea of bread. Now, if we had been following the lectionary, and we weren't, we went off lectionary to preach about Ephesians and 2 Corinthians, but during that time, the rest of the Lutheran world was hearing week after week after week of John's dissertations about bread. In summary, it's all about God's provision, God's providing abundance for God's people. Well, here in Mark, this account with the Syrophoenician woman is bracketed by two bread stories. Jesus provides bread for 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. And then after this story, a little while after that, Jesus provides 4,000 people, Gentiles, with bread. This bread, like the manna in the wilderness, is symbolic of God's provision, God's abundance for God's people. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been facing growing opposition from the religious leaders. Last week, you would have heard that Jesus had a run-in with the Pharisees, who saw themselves as the guardians of ritual purity, who were the ones who could say who was clean and who was unclean, who was worthy of God's provision and who was not. And Jesus took them on. Jesus pointed out to them that those rituals of hand washing and all those other laws, they don't make one clean or unclean. What's in the heart does. Who you are from within, from the human heart, is where uncleanness comes from. The crowds are following. They're looking to get more bread. They want more. The disciples, they're clueless. They could rightly be referred to, as I've heard it, as the disciples. They don't get it. After Jesus feeds the 5,000, they're out in the boat and they're arguing among themselves. Who forgot to bring the bread? Really? They don't get it. The crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They want more and more and more. So Jesus needs a break. And he heads north, out of the country, literally, to Tyre, to try and get away for a moment. But there's no rest even there. He's in Gentile territory now. And there, the Syrophoenician woman finds him. And they have a conversation about bread, about God's provision, about who gets God's grace. Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she responds, Lord, even the dogs under the table get the crumbs from the master's table. Even the dogs eat the children's crumbs. This, I believe, is an aha moment in Mark's gospel. For those who are reading, they see that the provision of God is not just for the children of Israel, but for all. The daughter is healed. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus commends her faith. Jesus' mission becomes clearer. He now heads to Jerusalem for a cross. But on the way, he goes to the Decapolis, to further Gentile territory, and he feeds 4,000 Gentiles. First the children of Israel, now the Gentiles, with bread, with crumbs from the master's table. The daughter is healed. Jesus' mission becomes clear. In my reading of Mark's gospel, I think this is a critical turning point. Mark's community, his early church that he was writing to, were facing a controversy of the time, a big controversy, as to whether Gentiles would be considered legitimate Christians, or whether you had to be a Jew first. Would Gentiles, would those outsiders be accepted into the church along with us, the children of Israel? The message to them, and by listening in, the message to us, is that God's provision, God's bread, God's grace is not limited. God's mercy, grace, healing, abundance, forgiveness, salvation, all of that is meant for all people, not just a precious few. Just think, those that we deem acceptable, clean, like us. Not just them, but everybody else is a recipient of God's grace, of God's abundance. Here's the message. God's grace has no artificial limit. God's grace is enough. Even the crumbs that fall from the master's table are enough for all. The crumbs from God's table are enough. Two images come to mind. I could go on and on, but these are things that pop into my mind as I consider whether the crumbs from God's table are enough. First is a prayer that turns up in communion liturgies every once in a while. It was written by Thomas Cranmer, an Anglican back during the Protestant Reformation. It's called the Prayer of Humble Access. Maybe you've prayed it. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercy. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you're the same Lord whose character it is always to have mercy. Grant, therefore, gracious Lord, that we partake of this sacrament of your Son, that we may walk in newness of life, grow into his likeness, and evermore dwell in him and he in us. We receive even the crumbs from his table. And the crumbs of God's grace are enough. There's no earning, there's no deserving, there's no in, there's no out. They're all gifts of God's grace. None of us deserve it. But yet, God gives us all. The second image that comes to mind comes from early on in my ministry, when I was still kind of getting used to doing this kind of minister stuff. And I was serving communion. And a little boy, I remember him quite well, his name is Jacob. He had been taught that you can't receive communion yet, you're too young, and you're supposed to cross your arms when you come up for a blessing. And, you know, he'd been coming to church regularly with his parents, and he knew what was going on in communion. He had listened, he paid attention. And so one day he comes up, you know, for communion, and instead of crossing his arms for blessings, he holds his hand out like this, as if to say, "Give it to me. Give me Jesus." He knew that this was Jesus. "Give me Jesus." And how could I refuse him? That started the wheels turning. How could I ever refuse someone God's grace? Holy Communion, by the way, is referred to in Lutheran circles as a means of grace. It is a way that God's grace is received by God's people. How can we refuse God's grace to anyone? Hence, here at Good Shepherd, we have an open table because all are welcome. God's grace is enough. The crumbs from God's table are enough for all and for everyone. They don't have to ahead of time fit our characteristics of worthiness. God's the judge of that. Our requirements of who's in and who's out don't matter, because God's grace, even the crumbs from God's table, are enough. The Syrophoenician woman, I believe, showed us that God's grace is enough for all, for everyone. And the table is big enough to include even us. Even us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.